some nuclear engineers think that the units 1, 2, 3, and 4, all of them suffered some form of partial meltdowns. Unit 3 has MOX fuel that contains more plutonium than the nuclear fuel rods in the other reactors. Now, TEPCO also has reported that in Unit 3, the pipes necessary to carry emergency cooling were probably damaged early on, and that's why the water level inside Unit 3 fell so low. TEPCO says much of Unit 3's nuclear fuel likely melted down and collected at the bottom of the pressure vessel over the next 24 hours around the time of the March 14th explosion, and that would explain why there were powerful explosions. Could have been one and then followed by two explosions you're going to hear in a minute. Now, one man who has been keeping track of the Fukushima nuclear disaster on a daily basis is Scott D. Portzline, security consultant for Three Mile Island Alert in Harrisburg. And he was born in 1958, was 20 years old when TMI, the Three Mile Island Unit 2 reactor, began to melt down back then. And then by 1984, he wanted to know the truth about what had caused that near meltdown. And a decade later, Scott had lost confidence in government explanations and began to question how much radiation had escaped from the TMI reactor. What had radioactive contamination done to the people, plants, animals, and insects around that Harrisburg Three Mile Island area? And why did the government and nuclear industry tell the public that only small quantities of radiation had been released with exposures far below levels that could affect health, when that was not true? And he felt like with Fukushima that all those old questions, the whole situation of governments and authorities trying to cover up a potentially disastrous situation was replaying again in the spring of 2011. He has watched the Japanese government authorities try to downplay and whitewash a nuclear disaster that potentially can still affect the whole northern hemisphere if that plutonium-bearing might have been 500 pounds of plutonium-bearing MOX fuel in there. If Unit 3 yet gets out of control and goes into what is called a prompt criticality that could explode even more plutonium into the atmosphere, while right now, as we are doing this report tonight, there are many people who think Unit 3 exploded the spent fuel rods containing more plutonium than the other units out in those explosions beginning on March 14th. And now we're going to hear from Scott Portzline, who feels like it's all happening again, only this time it is worse.
Most people think things have gotten much better at Fukushima and have no idea that they're no better. Nothing is better. They've made a few plugs here and there, but it's still leaking. It's still fissioning at Unit 3, that the radiation levels are higher than they thought, that the water levels in the reactor are lower than they thought. Once they got the gauge to work properly, they found out they didn't have any water in the reactor at Unit 1. This just happened the other day. Since May 5th, we saw at Unit 3 the temperature rise by 100 degrees Celsius and then another 100 degrees Celsius. So that indicates to me that there's something fissioning at Unit 3. In fact, TEPCO said they started adding boron to that reactor. Their reason was that since they switched over to fresh water instead of seawater, that they'd have to add boron to prevent recriticality. But I believe that's just Japanese nuclear speak for we are going to tell you 3 weeks from now that there may have been recriticality, and then another 3 weeks later we'll confirm that there was recriticality.
And what is your perspective right now on the story that there may have been ejected plutonium-bearing MOX fuel out of Unit 3?
Yes, and that's a strong probability, because I don't know if you saw the latest video underwater camera of the spent fuel pool Unit 3, and it is obliterated. There's large pieces of iron and I-beams and racks are distorted. I think most of it was ejected upwards in what some people believe was a prompt criticality, which would have been very similar to the prompt criticality that occurred at Chernobyl. And what you have happen is the fuel gets rearranged geometrically into a configuration where fission criticality can occur very rapidly. In this case, a moderated prompt criticality because of the water acting as a moderator. And then you have an explosion of steam and gases with such power that it ejected these spent fuel fragments and pieces hundreds of feet into the air and up to a mile away.
Is there any speculation about how much plutonium might have been ejected from Unit 3 and how much is out in the atmosphere in the water?
I don't know of any projections of that, but we've got to be talking about several hundred pounds at least. And it's a very grave situation because some of that will circle the globe. Most of it will fall out because it's heavy into the sea or into the local area or into the crops and the livestock, which the Japanese people in the area have been advised to abandon their livestock now.
And it might be related to this Unit 3 issue because it only takes tiny particles of plutonium breathed into lungs to cause cancer and death eventually. And I'm wondering if it could also relate to the mid-May order from the Japanese government to expand even further the zone of clearing people and animals out around the Fukushima plant.
Well, that's probably a contributing factor. The report in the news from Japan was because of atmospheric conditions. Well, that means a storm in my lexicon, but now in their lexicon, that's got to mean radiation. And, of course, with plutonium being virtually a death sentence, a guarantee if you inhale it into your lungs, like you said, just takes one particle to lodge in your lung and emit radiation, you're guaranteed to die from that eventually. So, yeah, that's probably one of the factors. Originally, this is an interesting subject because when this accident first began, reporters' number one question was, what's the worst-case scenario? And most people were saying a core meltdown. And I was one of the people saying the worst case is actually a spent fuel pool accident where fire would volatilize many radioactive isotopes, cesium, iodine, strontium, plutonium, americium, and deposited into the air, and then that can last for weeks. So that's what I thought would be the gravest concern. And you asked me about an explosion. Is there any way we could have ejection from these spent fuel pools? And my answer was, I can't think of any factor that would cause that. And so
now we know it happened.
Yeah, I was wrong. In fact, what we think may have occurred was actually two explosions. What I found out was there's a sound file connected with the explosion of the Unit 3 building. We can't draw absolute conclusions from it because the sound was manipulated. It was realigned in time because you have to allow 5 seconds in delay for each mile distance between the explosion and where the video was filmed and recorded. I do think that the sound file shows that there was two explosions, which would have been very similar to Chernobyl, where just a few tenths of a second apart, two different types of explosions occurred, and one would have been the prompt criticality. The other is the steam explosion. It's possible, then, that there was a hydrogen explosion at Unit 3. It rearranged the fuel in the spent fuel pool into a geometric configuration that caused a prompt criticality, which would have created much more energy than a hydrogen explosion, allowing these fuel rods to be ejected hundreds of feet into the air and even a mile away from the plant.